Thanks for being here. My name is Dan Phillips, and I am going to talk to you today about a project of mine that I've been working on for a few years. And I've got to say, I'm pretty excited to see this room so full at 9 a.m. the day after all the parties. That's pretty incredible. So first thing, I'm going to start off just with a quick demo, just to kick things off, and then I'll move into the talk. Right. So, everyone here has used WebAssembly? Yeah? Yeah, for the most part? Okay, good. How about Docker? Everyone use Docker? Yeah, of course. Okay, good. Okay, so I have this project called Boxer, yeah? And there's a Box CLI. I'm just going to kind of walk you through a quick example of what this can do, and you might see what it looks like, how familiar it is to you. Cool. So with Boxer, what you can do is you can take a Docker file, okay, a Docker file like this. This just runs a simple C program. That C program is this one, perfect for a demo. Prints 100 lines, and it uses something from the standard library. This is very important. So just to show you what this can do here, we'll do box build. Dockerfile. We'll do a box ls. You'll notice that this is a little big for that file that I showed you, but we'll get into that in just a second. And then we'll do box run. And then here's the real kicker. We'll do box run. And the same exact thing runs here. Right? And how is that possible? That's possible because it's running the same thing in both environments, right? The what was just executed was a container definition, but all in WebAssembly, right? So I'm going to talk about this project, and I'm going to sort of talk about WebAssembly broadly. I feel like this room, I don't need a ton of explanation, but I'll kind of just go through it quickly. But quickly about me. My name is Dan Phillips. I work at a company called Loophole Labs. We do a lot of different things, some WASM stuff, but also we do some interesting tech like live VM migration with no downtime, things like that. I work on this project called Architect, architect.run. You should check it out. It's very cool, unrelated to this talk. On the internet, I'm mostly dphilla, d_philla, on Twitter, X, whatever, and then LinkedIn, GitHub. And I also run the WASM Chicago Research Group. It's a systems engineering group where we meet, read about things, and we have talks and stuff. So if you're ever in Chicago, please let me know. So what is WebAssembly? I'm just going to go through this quickly. Like I said, most people in this room don't need this introduction, but just from the spec itself, WebAssembly is a safe, portable, low-level execution format, which is designed for efficient execution and compact representation. Safe, sandboxed, it makes certain assumptions about security, and then no assumptions about languages or host. Virtual CPU is the best way to think about it, right? Which can mean many things, but in this case, it just means a compilation target. It's a virtual ISA. It uses a bytecode binary format. It's an abstract stack machine. Yep. And what does that really mean? It's just another architecture, so which is sort of the thrust of this talk. And because it's another architecture, we have to treat it like a compilation target, but there are some key differences, which is that it's virtualized. It needs a runtime, but that does not necessarily mean it needs to be interpreted. It means you can also do things like AOT and JIT in certain cases. And it's universal, right? So most people outside of this room and other places, when they hear about WASM, they usually say, oh, no, I don't do very much front-end stuff. Right, and the interesting thing there is that because it started off as a sandbox execution in a sandbox execution environment, and it makes no assumption about languages or host, it has things like extremely fast cold start times in the nano to microseconds, which depends on the size, and it's a universal compilation target. There's really nothing in the spec about WASM being related to the web or really being assembly, which is kind of a joke in the WASM community. So then sort of comes in server-side WASM. I like to think of this as cloud infrastructure's penicillin moment, where they saw these attributes of this technology and they could squint and say, that's interesting, that could be used in many other places, right? Some people think of it like this, this sort of progression. We'll see if this is necessarily true, and if this has so far been borne out. It's smaller, safer, faster, and much more universal. Faster having an asterisk because many people say, well, it has a runtime, so it therefore must be slower than native. That may or may not be true in most cases, but when it comes to things like startup times, it can be much, much faster. I hate to use this quote again, but I feel like it's required. This is the founder of Docker talking about this about 5 years ago. This got a lot of VCs very excited back in 2019. And it's an interesting quote. He's since sort of walked it back, saying he didn't mean that it would replace Docker. He just means that this was a technology that could have done many things back in the early days of LXC and containers. So, Boxer. One of the most important things that I think is missing in the WebAssembly community now is a developer experience that correctly abstracts away implementation details. I don't think that, and I think many people would agree, I don't think that we've quite found the right primitive for using WASM. So this is a sort of, and when I say for using WASM, I mean as a general purpose compute target. Right? There are many, many different ways that people are using it. At my company, we built a thing called Scale, scale.sh, which is a plugin framework. Back here, we've got my friend Eduardo from Dylib, and they have an awesome plugin framework also. It's been really good in this sort of like polyglot plugin space. But as far as general purpose compute, there's no reason that it can't be a general purpose a compute target, much to many people's disagreements, and B, there's just not the correct tooling or abstractions yet. So Boxer kind of takes a first look at this. So Boxer takes your program, we start with a Docker definition, and then it builds a box. You can call it a WASM box if you'd like. Very similar to what you can think about in a container is we have a base layer. We have a virtualized file system and system layer code. We have a compiled runtime. And then we have user source code, right? Most importantly, the only way that these different layers can talk to each other are through the process of imports and exports, which is fundamental to WASM modules and the separation of concerns, right? So how does it do this? So there's quite a bit at the lower level, but basically one thing that we think about with POSIX and with certain standards is interfaces. So Boxer provides these interfaces, libc-like syscall interfaces, and that creates the first layer, right? And that's sort of this from step here. You can do the same thing by, so once we have the virtualized file system set up, you can basically do exactly what you would do in a Docker container, where you bring in certain data and it brings it into the guest. You can set the working directory and you can set the command. So the WASM VFS, this is sort of the bedrock of all of this, because for anyone who's done work with POSIX, you understand that everything is a file, even though everything is not quite a file. It's good to start with a file system so you can have things like file descriptors. So the WASM VFS is sort of the bedrock of this. It's written in Rust, so obviously it's incredible. It implements all of the syscalls that you would find in a POSIX compliant file system, almost full POSIX semantics. Some key differences, though, is some things like syncing, flushing, locking that you would find in normal file systems are a little different because of WASM's single-threaded nature by default, and a couple different architecture patterns. Right. So if you see here, see this project, you can see all of the standard exposed file system operations here. Right. So What that means is, if that's our base layer, we have a couple caveats. This whole project has just been me working on this by myself, right? So take that as you may. The POSIX surface area, we've reached about 70%. And that means that we have implemented every single libc call that is promised to be in POSIX, every single interface, with about 30% left. Networking. So this is the interesting part. Networking in a Boxer box, a WASM box, does work. You can do networking through relays on the host. And in a distributed environment, you can do things like edge networking, where you can specify where the networking relay will be sent through. So how that works could be an entirely different talk. So I'm not going to get into the details now. But if you want to talk about it, I would love to talk to you about it after. OK, the lower layers. The way that this all works and the way that we can make this POSIX compatibility available is with a project called Marcotte. Marcotte kind of sets up the substrate of the system layers that will be used in a WASM box. If anyone here has done any work with libcs, specifically Muscle or glibc, if you've ever looked at the internals, this will look relatively familiar to you, because this is a Muscle-based libc, which also brings in glibc functions that aren't in Muscle. And it's kind of this Frankenstein of compatibility. But what this does is this sets up the system layers for every single WASM box. So each layer is virtualized, where you have a file system, networking, you have things like memory management, process management, signals, and that is all defined here, right? So this is a list of every single function in POSIX, where it's implemented, and with notes about it. And so you can see that here we have this C code, which is wrapping the WASM VFS code, which is in Rust. The interop is actually not as hard as you would think. But so this gives you file system compatibility. And then here we have self-contained functions, which are C standard functions. And then all the way down here is the remaining 30% of POSIX, which we are working on, which is things like process and thread management, signals, and this is where things get really creative in a WebAssembly environment, trying to make things like IPC work, like fork, like pthreads. There's a lot that goes into that. Each of these themselves could be a separate talk also. Ooh, be careful. Okay. You okay? Okay. All right. There's a lot here, but basically know that there's about 30% remaining before you can run any unmodified Unix POSIX-based piece of code as you would on a native platform in a WASM box. So the big question is whether POSIX is the right way. So there are a lot of opinions about POSIX. There are a lot of opinions about system design. In the WebAssembly community specifically, there are some very heated discussions about this quite often. And it's anyone's guess. I'm not too dogmatic about it myself. I think that when it comes to ABIs, they get crystallized like they have in the Linux kernel over the last 30 years. And for better or worse, there are trillions of dollars worth of software that are running on POSIX that people don't like to rewrite the lowest levels of their software. They like to run things on top of standards. So whether or not it's right could also be another discussion. If you want to have a beer later and hash this out, I would love to do it with you. What POSIX defines, though, is, and I was just looking at the IEEE spec about this the other day, is it's just interfaces. This is a very key distinction. It's just interfaces. It defines behavior and interfaces. It does not say how you implement that behavior, which is a very important distinction when it comes to building something like a layer-based system for functionality, right? There's nothing in POSIX that necessarily says you need to use something like a monolithic kernel. There's nothing that says you can't use a microkernel or a unikernel or no kernel at all, as long as the concepts are there and they can be executed. So that's a very important sort of line that I've taken with this project, is that the interfaces will be fulfilled, but how they're fulfilled is quite different than in other places. And then what is a process, right? There's an interesting thing about the tyranny of the process in POSIX, just like the tyranny of file descriptors in POSIX. So when you squint, for those of you who have done work with WASM, a executing WASM module kind of looks like a process, maybe. There was this idea early on in WebAssembly about nanoprocesses and being able to communicate between them. That's kind of evolved into this thing called the component model. But a WASM module can communicate with other modules and externally by simple imports and exports, right? And the only thing that that module knows about is what is exported to it and what it also imports. This can set up a very different situation for things like IPC, communicating, you know, between processes, making new processes, forking, execing, things like that. And it also does stuff like remove massive amounts of overhead when it comes to communicating between different types of execution that are happening on the same system. So there's also a lot there. Marcotte, this project, handles the lower layers in Boxer, and that is this could be a whole other talk also, but I'm happy to get into it with you later if you want to catch up. This is a picture that I had ChatGPT make for me, and it just kind of encapsulates the whole idea. So just getting into some of the metrics, when we say that WebAssembly boxes with the same code are smaller, safer, faster, and more universal, there's a couple examples here. So this is from a talk I gave earlier this year at a Python conference. The same code, right, and this is excluding the container runtime, right? This is just the container images itself, and so there's even more to this. Standard Python container, we're in the age of AI. This has become the de facto language of the AI revolution somehow, and here we are. And so Python images can be huge, right? They can take seconds, maybe 30 seconds, maybe 40 seconds to actually start, depending on their dependencies. So this is a small one. And what's the security model, right? It's a container. If you know about how containers are implemented, it does a lot to hide the rest of the system away. And it relies on having a kernel, it relies on having an operating system, it relies on having C groups. There's a ton of back and forth about how this is implemented. I gave a similar talk yesterday in the container room, and it's like, it's a completely different approach, but when you start at the architecture level and then build from there, the defaults are very different. So the same code in a WASM box, 6 megabytes, if you pull out the source code and you snapshot the system code, about 5 megabytes and 500 kilobytes for the source code. Same app, same exact app. Startup speed about 100 microseconds, depending on what's going on the system. And this can be also shut down more with things like Wiser, which do snapshotting, and then you can pre-initialize memory in WASM modules. And it's a completely different security paradigm, right? So, the future. In a perfect world, we have a paradigm shift to completely composable, universal WASM-based operating system environments. That would be nice. It's probably not going to happen overnight, but there are a lot of things that we can do if we get the primitive right. Right? There needs to be a way to deploy WebAssembly code without having to think about WebAssembly. That's my personal opinion, and I'm sticking to it. Just like when you use Docker or containers, the vast majority of people who use Docker containers have no idea how C groups work. Don't care, right? So you also get, like I showed in the first demo, you actually get true isomorphism. Anyone who survived the Node.js hype of about 10 years ago remembers the sort of JavaScript. I can write JavaScript here. I can write JavaScript there. I can write JavaScript everywhere. That turned out to not quite be true because the JavaScript is different in different environments, right? This is actually isomorphic, right? You compile it once, run anywhere. Oh, that sounds familiar, unfortunately. It turned into compile once, debug everywhere, right? So the difference here is that this is actually the same code, and it's actually in different environments, and it's not proprietary, and it also doesn't bring a bunch of Java primitives into the runtime. So if you want to talk more about runtimes, talk to my friend Eduardo. He knows more than me, and he's also a Java guy, so he can go back and forth with you on it. So real isomorphism, very cool. But it's also isomorphism across even more environments. That same code that I ran earlier on my computer, I just showed you it ran in the browser. I could also take that same code and run it on an embedded device. I could run it on a microcontroller. I could run it across operating systems, across browsers. All of you likely have at least one WASM runtime in your pocket, in your browser right now, right? It's on every major browser. All of the four ones, the four big ones, and that's really not going anywhere, right? So there's this idea that true universality is more close at hand than it ever has been. And then capabilities-based microservices. I talked about imports and exports. If you've ever been to a container or like Kubernetes conference, you'll see the vast array of the ecosystem that does things like identity, that does things like security, that does things like hardening the surface area for security boundaries on things that run containers. All of that could be disrupted or could not be needed if you simply had secure stacks running every single execution code and importing and exporting between those things in the same runtime or across runtimes. And WebAssembly gives you that out of the box, right, without having to do anything, because we start at the architecture level, and you have a secure execution stack for every single piece of code that you want to run. This is very similar to Plan 9. If anyone's played with Plan 9 or heard about this, the sort of dream that was almost realized, giving every single execution environment its own CPU. Well, if you kind of zoom out a little bit, that's exactly what WASM does at a high level, right? Cool, thank you. Do you have time for questions?
Do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Do you have DLL when you oppose it to that implementation?
Excellent question. Not yet, but we will. Yeah. And how will we do that? I don't know. Maybe you can help me. Yeah, no, DL open is a tough one. Yeah, it's a tough one. So dynamic linking, the rub here is that from a guest, so in WebAssembly, I went fast through this, but you know, we have the concept of the host and the guest. From a single WASM instance that is predefined, WASM needs to be confirmed that it's WASM prior to running, right, by the runtime. So one of the things that is difficult now is spawning new processes from a process without communicating with the host. So we have to create these host functions which can do things like mediate dynamic linking and loading, just like we do with forking and execing. How that can work is challenging, but not impossible with things like snapshotting, pre-initializing, and you can do things like you can set up what's possible, so it'll probably start off by being like a very limited set of dynamic linking that you can do. Yeah. Other questions? So it's not there yet, but if you sign up, I can show you. Yeah.
There is a question on the matrix chat.
Yeah.
In the example, there was an a.out file.
Yeah.
And that must have been compiled to the WASM before building the container with Box, right?
Yes.
And does GCC do that compilation nowadays?
Yeah. So, excellent question. The Markot library actually wraps GCC or Clang, depending on what you're on, and then it takes that and it converts it into WebAssembly for you, and you don't have to think about it. So when you do box build, you can, so both GCC, so Clang, LLVM, you can compile C to WASM pretty easily, but there are some exceptions. You can't compile it to like specific architectures like this. So basically we stub out all of the libc files and then you it thinks that it's compiling to a native platform when it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah.
So I think you mentioned that you embedding your Wasm runtime inside of boxes. So the difference is that your boxes are not portable across material architecture?
Oh, no. The box itself is Wasm, right? Okay, but then the boxer will bundle a runtime with it, depending on what architecture that you're on,
okay.
Right? So the box itself is portable. The runtime itself is not, right? So the idea there is you can take the same box and move it around runtimes, right? If you want to do things like networking, you'll need to bring in the specifics, like you can plug in pieces to that runtime so that you can do things like networking. But you can do that by moving it across different environments easily if you have the runtime set up in each one. Yeah, so a runtime is required everywhere. Yeah. Cool. Thanks a lot. Oh, wait, one more. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good question. No, the runtimes in the browser are pretty fast. There are some runtimes that are really fast on native, and they're really small. It depends. There's slight differences between them. But there are some slowdowns depending on, so each host is implemented in a specific language, right? And in the browser, you have to communicate with WebAssembly through JavaScript, right? There's some inherent unpredictable slowness there, right? With things like WASM time or WAZERO in Go, it's a lot more predictable depending on what performance you want. The faster asterisk is because people always say it's virtualized, how can it be faster? And I say, well, there's many things that are faster, like startup times or orders of magnitudes faster. And if you're doing stuff like this, where you are virtualizing the interfaces for what are usually syscalls, there is effectively no overhead in terms of context switching like you would get with kernel, right? And so if you have something with high like IOPS, then you multiply that a billion, that is, you know, that is much, much faster in terms of certain things. So it's an asterisk for that reason. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to talk more about it though, we can chat. All right, I should let my friend get up here. So time's up. Okay, yeah. Thank you.